Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock! Listen, listen, this is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen! Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza. You know what I'm saying? My homie J-Cat and the homie Eric.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
All you had to do was listen to your Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black me. Holler.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.
It's Thursday night, 3-3-11. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Mars. And as always with me is my co-host, Eric Williams. What's going on, Eric?
Microphone check, check, check. 1, 2. Oh, shit. I got a different call in tonight, so we won't be hearing that crap tonight. What's going on, J-Cat? How you doing tonight?
Winning. That's pretty much the way I like to start it off. Winning, you know, same as always, full of tiger blood, just ready to go, man. So, just chilling out. You know, I'm outside tonight, so I don't see the chat. So anything anybody got to say, Eric's going to relay that to me, you know, and everybody else on the show. So, everybody have a good time in there and, anybody listening live, I definitely encourage you to, you know, go join the chat room over there and, get more interactive for the show. So, we have a lot of stuff to talk about, you know, various things from, wrestling to, you know, what I just kind of hinted about is, you know, Charlie Sheen and his crazy ass and all sorts of shit.
And so, you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy? Who would ever thought in a million years that the words Charlie Sheen would ever be mentioned on Yakuza Kick Radio?
Well, who knows? You know, some people, I mean, I don't know. They find themselves a way to be noticed on every forum possible, and Charlie has just done that for sure. I guess we'll talk about that for a second right quick, because the dude is fucking nuts. I think that's an understatement. A lot of people are playing the death pool with him and figuring out exactly how much longer we got with this guy, and not really sure. Really not sure. You know, on one hand, it looks like he's one bad night away from the end of his life, and then on another end, part of him seems indestructible. I mean, some of the shit that he said he's been doing, and just the amounts of drugs that he's done and lived, it would just be a pain in the ass to die for him, I think. You know? It would take, like, far more work than he puts in. I just think his casual drug habits are so far above and beyond. Not that, you know, no one's invincible, but this guy seems to have some kind of steel stomach, or I don't know what's
holding him up. He's only 45 years old, Jay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, he looks a whole shitload older than that right now. He looks like the fucking crib keeper. But it's pretty bad. I've been and listen to all his interviews that everybody else has heard. I've listened to him on Howard Stern the other day. That was really funny. Yeah, man. I don't know. I really, you know, I can't just summarize what's going on. It's great entertainment. I mean, it's just as good entertainment as the whole Mel Gibson thing, if not better. And, you know, I mean, these guys make millions and millions of dollars. So, I mean, if the bottom line is one day they're going to spiral out of control and make me laugh more than they ever did before they did that, then so be it, I guess, you know. It's really not my problem. So.
Yeah.
Not my problem. So.
Not your problem.
Very, very entertaining, though. Definitely my entertainment.
It is crazy, though. Like, I remember you told me earlier about off-air about him dating Brie Olsen. And,
well, yeah, she's, I think Rachel is her real name or some shit like that.
Yeah, yeah, Rachel,
but,
Rachel Marie.
Right. She, you know, very famous porn star and everything else. You know, been on Howard Stern a million times. So if you're a Stern fan, like, you know who she is, or a porn fan for that matter. But she's one of the two, Charlie calls them his goddesses. Well, she's one of the two goddesses that live in his house. The other chick, I forget her name. She's not a porn star, though.
Her name is actually Natalie Kenley.
Right, right. That was what he kept saying on the show. The funny thing is a lot of people keep going because they had heard, you know, they're talking about the kids and they're talking about everything with, you know, Charlie's kids and what's going to go on here and there. And then, you know, it came up that, oh, one of the girlfriends is used to be a nanny. Well,
really?
Yeah, and automatically they go, well, Brie was a porn star, so the other one was a nanny. Like, no, honestly, Brie was a nanny at one point. So... That's the funny thing, because everyone's getting that misconception that, well, we got the porn star, I heard nanny, must be the other one. Like, no, actually, like, Brie was a nanny at one point, so it's pretty funny. But either way.
No. According to websites that I've been doing research, the other one was a former nanny.
Oh, really? Really?
Because yeah.
I could swear Brie had said some shit like that, like before porn and all of that, that like she did stuff like that. But okay.
Natalie Kenley used to be is a model and a former nanny.
Okay. Well, I'm wrong sometimes.
Sorry to say that, but you know, I'm just
mark it on your calendar. I'm wrong sometimes. You know.
All I gotta say is,
epic date.
You know, we're even now. You know, I screwed up all the time in football, and you screwed up once now, so we're even.
All the time in football and once now. Yeah, that sounds about even.
Yeah, we're even.
But the other thing, like he was saying, you know, because Howard asked all the deep questions and everything, and he wondered about sleeping arrangements. Do you fit three people in the one bed? You know, because they're all living with him, and. The real arrangement is Charlie doesn't technically have his own bed. The two girls have their own beds, and he chooses which one he's going to sleep in every night. So that's Charlie's night game. So,
well, you know what's funny though? I've watched Two and a Half Men for a long time, and said that, and that's the way he's portrayed on the TV show. You know, sleeping with all these different girls every.
Yeah,
you know,
I've heard.
Yeah, I don't know if you've watched it or
a
fan of it.
No, not at all. No, not at all.
But, you know, sometimes he has all these different girls, and they all look like kind of porn stars, you know?
So he just probably laughs, go home, and plays a real-life rerun of that shit when he gets off
the
set.
Man, his life and the whole, and I mean, his life and his, you know, his real life and his, you know, his acting is pretty much the same.
Yeah, he said there was days where he showed up to shoot, and all of them knew he was fucked up and everything like that. He would pretty much tell them, for this shot, I'm going to need a table next to me. And he would just lean on the table in order to stay, like, coherent and functionable for the scene. So this stuff was not a surprise to fucking anybody that was working with him. I'm sure it was a long time coming. So, yeah.
It's sad, though. I'll say it right now. This, you know, there's been 8 seasons of Two and a Half Men, and,
wow,
you know, in 2010, they had
an episode.
CBS and Warner Brothers reached a multi-year broadcast agreement to run to 2012, but CBS decided to end the production for the rest of the 8th season due to his comments.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen if what Charlie's saying is right and they're going to change their name to Charlie Brothers instead of Warner Brothers. That's what he said. So I don't know. Maybe everything will switch around once they change that name on the logo.
I'll say it right now, and this will make no sense, but I have to say it. I wonder who has more of an ego, Charlie Sheen or Teddy Hart?
Well, I'd have to say Charlie. Teddy apparently went to rehab for weed and everything. And, you know, hey, that's a terrible demon he had there. But I think Charlie's in a little deeper than Mr. Hart. Just my opinion. I don't know. I also heard one of the people that did call him to console him over this whole topic since it happened was Mel Gibson. So you can only imagine that phone conversation. I mean,
oh, they're probably flipping out at each other like, why the hell are you doing that? I want to be on the show. They're probably flipping out on each other.
I mean, you just couldn't imagine that conversation must have been gold. I wish they could have recorded and posted that somewhere because, man. But anyway, before I get off the Charlie Sheen thing, because, you know, the rest of the show is all wrestling talk, I pulled a clip because I was watching Charlie Sheen after Charlie Sheen after Charlie Sheen, and I saw this kid, and he did this little rap on Charlie Sheen. And I actually thought it was pretty good. I don't even know the kid's name, but I figure, you know, I'll put it on the show, play it, you know, maybe some more people listen, go look up Charlie Sheen, see the kid, you know. I don't know, man. I've never seen him before. He's a white kid. You know, the second part of this song, like, he goes into some old fast flow type thing. And they actually put the lyrics on the screen. Obviously, you won't see it when we play it on audio, but they actually put the lyrics on the screen for that part. So it wasn't just, like, jumbled, just mumbling or anything. There was actually lyrical content there. So, yeah, everybody check that out, and we'll check you out in... Oh, in 2 minutes or something.
Yeah. We're all equipped. Hey, kids. Wanna try little Charlie Sheen? The best drug known to man.
Winning.
Check it out, I'm Charlie Sheen, got cocaine jaw, fuck Bree Olsen, did the whole thing raw. I get 2 million every episode, it's modest for my pay. I got a fire-breathing fist and a dinosaur DNA. Fuck AA, fuck anybody with cancer, fuck porn stars, fuck dancers. You call me an addict and I'll just smile, dream on. Punk bitch, I'm the real Ricky Wilde, thing on my lines polar. It's the 9th inning, you're bipolar, I'm by winning. Banging 7 gram rocks, tear my chest apart, and you will see that I have 3 extra hearts. Doing 75 pounds of yayo every night in this club.
I win here and I win there, now what?
Doing 75 pounds of yayo every night this love. I got tiger blood, Charlie Sheen, Charlie Sheen. 5'9" with a hard on clean. Blinked his eyes and he cured AIDS. His women and cocaine are pure grade. Okay, Charlie Sheen, Charlie Sheen. 10'20" money large and green. Looking in the mirror like I'm a stud. Don't fuck with me, I got tiger blood. Come on.
I got tiger blood.
We gotta speed things up now. Digging it down, digging it down. Sick of my digging, kicking, venomous, intimate, and imminent. I'm invisible, have all the demons and chemicals living in the furniture in my hotel room. My wallet is missing. I'm going insane. Don't want to dip in my head in my pocket. I'm flipping my finger like fuck you. I'm blowing cocaine. Take a vacation with porn. Stop bitches. I'm keeping the trash bin. Cause I'm 2.5 and I won't die. Anyone that dies, really stupid. Just ask. I'm sinister, fucking unscrupulous. Left to rock and born life. This is all a lesson. Never fuck a Roger Dorn's wife. Oops, it's my life. And I'm tired of preaching, denying my special. I'm making them clap and I'm still in a victim. We're taking a nap on my battle since it's that will finally love you until your ice age swimming. I got tiger blood. I say winning, bitch. Charlie Sheen, Charlie Sheen. Half man, half horse, half machine. Camera phone, shooting amateur porn. Wrote apocalypse now before I was born. Charlie Sheen, Charlie Sheen. Bones made of compressed methamphetamine. I'm not an actor, bitch. I'm a drug. I got 5 children and tiger blood.
Yeah. Winning. I thought that was pretty decent, you know.
By the way, I found out who sings that song, by the way.
Who's that?
His name is Mac Lethal, and if you want to check out more of his music, check out www.lethalvillelethalville.net. So that's his website, and he's from Kansas City, Missouri.
Nice, yeah. Check the kid out. I mean, you know, that shit came up like a day or two, like very, very shortly after the whole Charlie Sheen thing popped up. So this kid wasn't like writing that for 6 months or anything. I thought he did a pretty decent fucking job, at the very least. So, you know, anyway, off of the whole Charlie Sheen thing, I'll probably mention winning another 10, 15 times in the show. But other than that, we're going to get into wrestling. So what would you like to start with, Eric? Any preferences?
Well, I mean, if you want me to go into Ring of Honor, since I have it up, I can talk about that, or you can talk about Raw, because I don't watch Raw.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you would like to get into Ring of Honor, you could do that. Before you do, I would like to just mention that, you know, they ran their anniversary weekend or whatever the hell they just called it. But the one thing I thought was kind of strange is they had the world title match with Homicide and Roderick, and it was match 4 on the card. I'm not really sure why you would put a world title match 4 on the card and kind of bury it. I don't know.
Well, they really did some interesting stuff with that because, I mean, you know, I actually, you know, watched it on the internet and showed that. So I got to see the match, and, I mean, that whole show was built up towards the tag match.
Okay.
With the Briscoes and, you know, World's Greatest Tag Team. But I'll say right now, one match that you need to check out from that show is the opening match of that show, and it's Colt Cabana versus Davey Richards. What a matchup out of those two guys. I mean, those guys, it proves right there that those guys should be on a major, either a TNA or a WWE, you know.
I agree.
Those guys are amazing.
Completely.
I mean, Davey Richards is probably one of those guys that you can put in there with anybody, and he's going to have a good match.
Yeah, Davey's a world-class athlete. He's one of the best just overall wrestlers that we have in the United States, I believe. Maybe not the best promo cutter or, you know, a charisma-type guy. Oh, he's intense. He's super intense. He can wrestle his ass off, and he's one of the hardest-hitting guys out there. But on the other side of the spectrum, talking about Colt Cabana, that's a guy that can wrestle. He can talk. He can play gimmick. He can be funny. I mean, he can do so much in the ring. I really couldn't believe that the WWE let go of him because I think he's just such a perfect guy, like all-around talent that you could do anything with. You know, you could turn him into a Santino. You could turn him into a Bryan Danielson. You could turn him into so many different things. And I just really never understood that. And, I mean, he even had, you know, best friend in CM Punk in the company, and it didn't keep him employed. So apparently it's not always who you know. I mean, not that Punk is, you know, super backstage influence on booking, but, you know, he's obviously successful there, and they usually – you know, give you somewhat of a lookout. But it just, it kind of surprised me. He's still doing the Art of Wrestling podcast. I listened to that, and I think he does a great job at that, too, proving that he's a great talker. He's able to easily get on there, do interviews with guys, and, yeah, man, I don't know. Yeah, I'll definitely check out that match when I do get a chance to, because I'm sure it is very, very good.
I mean, and I don't know if you want me to read up the results or anything like that for people. You know, real quick, I can read them off, you know, because I have it right in front of me.
Right.
All right, so, you know, we had that match opener, and then Mike Bennett, the prodigy Mike Bennett, who they're really pushing in Ring of Honor, defeated Steve Corino, Grizzly Redwood, and Kyle O'Reilly in a four-corner survival match. That match is pretty decent. In another match that was pretty good, El Generico defeated Michael Elgin, who's a guy from Canada, real big guy. Kind of reminds me of a Brent Albright type guy, but he's, you know, he's a lot bigger. He worked for Ian a couple of times.
I know who Michael Elgin is. Yeah, he's very talented. He actually went from far bigger than he is to a better shape than he is now. Ian had him teaming up with Sammy. I forget what they called his their tag team, but they were teaming up doing some stuff over there. He actually had a good feud with Sammy as well. He's a good competitor. He got a few, like, very small chances in CZW where you would see him pop up, he'd have, like, a very low-card match, and then he'd disappear. So apparently, like, whatever he did out there wasn't, you know, what CZW
was looking for. Right.
Right. But, I think he's a tremendous, you know, athlete, especially, you know, even back then for his size, he was doing a lot of things, and really, he can move, you know, so.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we had Roderick Strong retaining the Ring of Honor World title over Homicide in a no-holds-barred match. That match was all right. I mean, it wasn't really, you know, too flashy or anything like that. It was what it was. It was, you know, for the spot on the card, it was, you know, they did what
now,
they had to do.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. Because, I mean, you watch a lot more Ring of Honor than me, and, you know, I've heard criticism. I'm a huge Homicide fan. But I have heard people criticize that since he's come back, he's not the same Homicide that he used to be. Do you see any of that, or do you think that, you know, it's just people being overcritical or something?
I'm going to be honest with you, Jay, when I say this.
Yeah.
And don't take this wrong at all.
Right.
I don't think it has anything to do with the way Homicide wrestles. I think it's something to do with the injuries that he's had over the years that has really held him down, because his stuff in CZW, from what I've seen, has looked a lot watered down. I don't know if it's because of an injury or if he's just, you know, maybe, you know, slowing down a little bit, but he's not the same Homicide that he was 5 years ago. I mean, if that's the question, if that's what you're wondering, then yeah, he's not the same Homicide that he, you know what I mean? I mean, and you're never going to see the same Homicide that you saw 5 years ago. I mean, yeah, the matches that he's having now are much more smarter, and he's not doing so much crazy shit as he did back in the day.
Well,
but I just think that people, you know, want to see something, you know, like that once in a while.
Well, I mean, I can understand that, you know, if injuries has taken him down a peg. I really haven't seen enough to say that, yes, he has lost a step or anything like that. I know that there are some very, very big things coming up for Homicide that you're going to see top-notch Homicide. You are going to see that guy that made his name years ago. I don't think that Homicide is at a state where he can't perform to the level that he used to. I'm just not sold on that fact yet. I think it's May where the Japan show that's coming over here is going to happen. I think it's May. And that's going to be the Rawway show. And it's going to be Low-Key and Homicide versus Tiger Mask and Jushin Thunder Liger. I have a feeling you're going to see a little bit of the old Homicide in that match. I don't know, you know, if doing indies as long as he's done has made him bored and some of it just doesn't make him want to step up to the task. It's really hard for me to speak on it because I haven't seen enough of his indie stuff since he's been back. I've seen the CZW stuff, you know, obviously. But as CZW never being, like, his home fed, per se, you don't expect the top performance on somebody's, you know, visiting performance. But I thought the match with Sammy and Homicide was awesome. So it's hard for me to even say that, you know. But I just figured, you know, I'd ask you because I know you've seen a lot more of it. And I know a lot of people are talking this and that about, you know, Homicide's performance since he's come back.
And I know, I'll say right now, the match with Roderick was kind of boring for what it was. I mean, if you're not, if you think that you're going to see a great match, that's not a, it's not an amazing match. It's an okay match, but it's kind of boring in the beginning. Like,
all right.
It was a slow beginning, real slow.
All right. Yeah, well.
And then we had Mischief wrestling Sarah Del Rey. That was an enjoyable match. It was a little too short, about 6 minutes, 6-7 minutes.
Well,
but like I said, not really.
And that kind of proves my point. A 6-minute women's match after the world title match for the company, regardless of how I feel about the competitors, which I'm a big fan of both, but the world title match and then a 6-minute women's match. Does that make any fucking sense to anybody, regardless of whether you're pushing a tag match or not? Like, really?
It doesn't make sense at all, but here's the thing. That's where they're going. You know what I mean? I think, and I'm going to say this, and I might get heat for this, but it goes to prove one thing. You can tell right at this card, this is their 9th year anniversary show. This is their anniversary show. When you have the tag team, this isn't, their main event wasn't even a tag team title match. It was a non-title match. It wasn't even, it was a number one contenders match.
Right.
Main eventing the 9th year anniversary. So, my point well proven.
Okay. So, what else they got?
Well, in a very good match, and the Kings of Wrestling retaining the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championships over the All Night Express of Kenny King and Rhett Titus. That match was very good. I mean, it really helped Rhett and Kenny King prove what they are in the ring and really stepped up. And I was impressed. I'll tell you that. I was, you know, watching it, I was kind of like iffy because I didn't read results before I watched it, so I didn't know
right.
what was going on. And then I watched it, and I was like, wow, it made Kenny King and Rhett Titus look like they can actually hang with people. You know what I mean? Like I know they've been pushing them for a while, but the match was decent. It's really something to watch, you know, to actually get the, you know, buy the DVD or watch it on GoFightLive.tv or whatever that's called.
Right.
And then the next match was Eddie Edwards versus Christopher Daniels for the Ring of Honor TV title. That match went to a 30-minute draw. They're basically setting up for another match. So, I mean, that match was really good, but it ended in a draw, so there was no winner. And then your main event, the world wrestling's greatest tag team defeated the Briscoes and are now the number one contenders for the Ring of Honor tag team titles. That match was really good.
Yeah, I would imagine it's pretty good.
I mean, they were doing some sick spots that I was like, holy shit. Like, I'm not going to spoil it or anything like that for anybody in the thing, but just to say, that match was really good.
Yeah, I would imagine they're two tremendous tag teams, and I'll definitely check that out.
Before we do anything, we have to give some shout-outs in the chat room, because apparently people miss you, and they want shout-outs on the air, so.
Oh, well, I thank you all for missing me.
Well, you got Nicole in the chat room, you got Juan in the chat room.
Miss Insanity. Juan, chat room stalker.
And you got
CZW
Princess in the chat room. So,
yeah, I don't know that third one, but Juan, did you get that? Did you get your new maps on Call of Duty? I'm downloading them, Johns, right now. You know what I mean? So I know what I'm doing after this show. I'm getting on some Call of Duty with my new maps.
He said all day. He said something about all day, about being a stalker. He said all day, being a stalker.
Right, all day. Okay, well, I mean, at least they could see you in the daytime, so that's cool.
Now he's shouting out Yakuza. He's saying Yakuza.
All right. Yeah, well, that's always a good thing. So, yeah, shout out everybody. You know, hopefully we get some more people in the chat room. That shit's like a small chat water cooler right now. Yeah, I mean, and that's cool and all. Yeah, I ain't no hating on that, but yeah, I'd like to see like 20, 30 people in that bitch. That would be quite nice. So anyway, what else? I got all sorts of shit.
Well, you want me to go into the next the cards for Ring of Honor, and then we'll just wrap it up with that, or no?
Well, yeah. Let's get all this Ring of Honor shit out, talk about it, and then we'll go from there. I like Ring of Honor. I'm not saying it like that. I'm just saying.
I'm starting to like it. I'm starting to love it, actually, after watching this. So they got a show March 18th in Plymouth, Massachusetts, 8 o'clock bell time, main event, Defy or Deny Elimination match. Ring of Honor world title, not title match, by the way. Roderick Strong versus El Generico versus Homicide versus Jay Briscoe. If Roderick Strong wins, then neither El Generico, Jay Briscoe, nor Homicide can ever challenge for the Ring of Honor world title again while Strong is the champion. But
right.
If El Generico, Jay Briscoe, or Homicide win, then the winner will face the champion on April 2nd in Atlanta with the title on the line.
Yeah, I like when they set up fucking three people with the champion, and then they say, if anyone wins but that guy, and then they give you a date, time, place on the card where that shit's going to happen. And then they're like, you know, or none of you motherfuckers get a title shot again. Well, I mean, let's look at it logically. Okay. None of them get a title shot again. So now you're taking out three of your top contenders, and then you already have this date set up. April, what is it?
April 2nd in Atlanta.
Yeah, April 2nd, Atlanta. Well, none of those guys you want to see in that match is going to be in it because they just lost. But we'll figure something out. it's pretty obvious. Now, it's not obvious out of the three people who's going to win, but it's pretty obvious the champion winning that.
Also on that card is Davey Richards versus Claudio, one-on-one.
That should be pretty good. Now, another thing that they had coming up, I don't know if that's on your agenda right there.
March 19th.
That's the March 19th date.
Yep.
That would be them bringing the LAX of Homicide and Hernandez in to challenge the Kings of Wrestling.
Non-title, though. Non-title.
Non-title. Jesus Christ. Are they the fucking Kings of drawing shit out? Like, is Ring of Honor, like, do they have to have, like, 3 to 4 of every single matchup that ever happens? Is that what's going on there?
Well, they also have,
like,
another matchup announced for that show.
Is it non-title?
No, it's title match. Roderick Strong versus Eddie Edwards.
Oh, that seems logical. I don't know, man. It just seems like the first one is, like, non-title. Then the second one is, like, well, still non-title, but you might get a title shot if you win that one. Then four matches later, they're like, you know what? This one's for the gold. It's like, you know, I've seen these guys wrestle fucking 18 times, and you're finally giving them a fucking title shot. It just, I don't know, it seems crazy. They put on some really good matches. They match up some really, really good talent. Just don't really understand why they got to draw everything out. I've heard the word non-title like 3 or 4 times in you promoting their shows. So, it's just weird.
Definitely. And then April 1st is the Kings of Wrestling versus World's Greatest Tag Team again in Atlanta.
Yeah. I think they should pack that fucking building and then just announce over the fucking loudspeaker, April Fools, everybody collect your refunds at the door.
We're going out of business.
And hold no show. Just hold no show. Just be like, oh, thanks for coming out, guys.
And then they'll have an audio clip of Fat Frank saying, we weren't even going to run a show in 2010. We weren't going to do it.
Yeah. Well, they'll just be like, April Fools, go get your refunds, fuckers. And then they'll play Piano Cat music.
Wait a minute. Piano Cat? You mean this song?
Yeah, that's exactly what the fans will hear. And then they'll just heads down, walk to the door, and just
Oh boy.
3 months ago.
Juan says, fuck you, fat freak.
Yeah, fat freak. Well, Fat Freak's running quite a show on the 26th, and that's a pretty good rename right there. And yeah, I'll definitely be attending that one with Danny and Bucky. I only attend Jersey All Pro maybe 3 times a year tops these days, and this will be one of them. So, all right, is that all the Ring of Honor we have?
Yeah, that is all the Ring of Honor stuff we have.
All right. What else? Now, okay, Raw. I know you didn't watch Raw, so I'll keep this short. All right. You know, I see a lot of people online, and they're just continually marking out for this. Oh, we got his, we got The Rock back. Oh, shit, we got... Oh, boy. Oh, Triple H. Oh, shit. Oh, dude. Oh, it's making me pay attention again. And I watch this shit on TiVo. You know what I mean? Because I ain't got the time to sit through all of that bullshit to maybe catch a little bit of happiness in that amount of time. So I'm sitting there playing fucking Black Ops or Madden or doing whatever the fuck else while that shit's TiVoing. And then I got, you know, the Facebook up on the computer next to me. So I look over here and there, and now, oh, my God, I'm marking out. Oh, I just screamed finally at the screen in front of my girlfriend. Like, I just really wish these grown-ass men would settle the fuck down with this marking out for The Rock shit and everybody else. It's cool that you're enjoying yourself. All of that is real cool and shit, but, I mean, y'all look like fucking fools. And then on top of that, I finished doing my shit, and I'm like, oh, good, I got a good, funny fucking Rock promo again. Yeah, he's going to crack me up again tonight, right? Because the last one was funny as shit. And I was like, oh, that's funny as hell. I'm glad he's back because he'll make me laugh and stuff. So I'm like, all right, then. Now, it gets, like, late in the show, so I play it. Now, for starters, you know, Cena was pretty funny last week, too. Is another guy that I don't like at all. But Cena was funny with his little rap thing last week. I think that's the only way that John Cena should cut promos on people. He cut this long, drawn-out, painful fucking promo in the ring with Alex Riley and The Miz. And he tried to, like cut on him and, like, make fun of him and stuff. And it was fucking horrible. It just made him come off like such a douche. Like, just... not a heel douche, just like a legitimate douche, like a guy that you would never want to hang out with. Like, no one laughs at his jokes. Like, they just look at him like, yeah, fuck, where do we go from here? Like, it was just really bad. Like, it was really, really fucking bad. Just long, drawn-out segment. Some people said that, like, they might have had some other shit planned and then scrapped that so it went longer than it was even supposed to. Like, that's how bad it was. People were like, what was really supposed to happen when they seen that shit? So that's bad move number one. Then, let's talk about other, you know, everybody's marking out. Oh, The Rock was back on the show. The Rock did a fucking taped promo from his house. Now, I think it should be just about illegal to cut a promo from your house and say that you finally come back to wherever the fucking building is. In this case, Buffalo. So he gets to say he's come back to Buffalo when he's sitting in his fucking house. That's funny because he doesn't live in Buffalo. So although, like, I take no offense to that, I just take, like, a, huh, that's weird. The promo was long. It was nothing special. It had tons of, you know, I did this and this and this, and you only did this, and I've done this, and you haven't done this, and look at my titles, and this is why that I could say what I want, this is why you can't say what you want, and I'm going to see you soon, I don't know when, but definitely soon, and you better watch for me, and blah, 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 and I don't like rap, and why are you rapping at The Rock, and blah, 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 and then, you know, he called him a yabba-dabba bitch or something like that. I don't know. I just don't get it. And then we're back. You know, and then we're right back to where we started. You had Rock's funny promo to start, Cena's funny little rap, and we've gone nowhere. we've gone absolutely fucking nowhere. So I just don't see where they're going. Triple H cuts his long-winded fucking blah, 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 fucking promo. We got Stone Cold back next week, so another fucking past his time guy that's going to cut a promo that everyone will Facebook over on how they're marking out so much. I don't understand. I don't think it's got more interesting. I was more interested, yeah. The first Rock promo, I said, man, now that's how you cut a fucking promo. I mean, this guy made everybody laugh and everything like that. If The Rock thinks he can cut, like, a serious promo about, like, kicking people's ass and what it means to be in the business, and anybody that's a fucking grown-ass man is going to really give a shit. I mean, obviously I'm wrong, because I could just read the Facebook statuses of actually grown-ass men doing this shit, but if any grown-ass man with, like, both of his testicles still really thinks that this is a good thing week in and week out, then I don't know, man. Maybe I just don't understand wrestling anymore, but I just don't see where that promo was any fucking thing to scream about and jump on your fucking your mobile phone or your keyboard and tell the world how happy you are about your wrestling experience that night. I just think it's so geeked out. It's so geeked out, it's ridiculous. So that was Raw for me, in all honesty. And the end came. The end was Cena versus Miz Cena versus Alex Riley in a cage match, and you had to escape the cage to win. Stipulation was, if Cena won, the Miz had to fire Alex Riley, which is crazy because I didn't know he signed contracts. I just thought they were kind of teamed up and he, you know, just carried his bags or whatever the fuck. So anyway, or if Alex Riley won, John Cena had to go on Raw next week and tell everybody that The Miz is awesome. Okay. That has to be one of the stupidest fucking stipulations I've ever heard in my life. So anyway, Cena wins, and Cena wins by, like, he's pushing on the door because no one climbs out of a cage anymore. They don't chain that shit, nothing. He just, you know, no one even attempted to climb the cage. It was just, like, pushing on the door, and eventually. So he's pushing on the door while Miz is pushing on the other end, trying not to let him out. And then Miz pulls, like, that Bugs Bunny trick and lets go of the door and just lets him fall. So then Cena falls, winning. But, then, you know, he's on the floor, so then Miz picks him up, hits him with the reverse Jeff Jarrett move, and it goes off the air. So that's the big finale to everybody's Mark Out Mondays. They should just rename it Mark Out Mondays. WWE's Mark Out Monday. You know, they call it Mom, Mark Out Monday. WWE Mom. That's how it comes out to me. And I just fucking thank the fucking Lord for TiVo.
TiVo?
Because if I believed in everybody that fucking praises this shit to the heavens, I'd break my fucking TV. There's no maybe about it. So, that sums up Raw for me. So, everybody tune in on Monday, where we have even more old men, and they'll cut promos that people will mark for on WWE Mom. So, what else? What fucking else?
How about a status update? Fantastic.
Status update, fantastic. Horrible name for a show. We went over this last week. I really don't need to go too far into that again and again.
We need to talk about this every week, and, you know, because we know that the company listens to the show, and we want to talk about how bad that fucking name is. And
yeah,
they should fire whoever comes up with these names.
The name is terrible. Well, let me just read off, you know, some of the stuff that's going on the card, you know, because, you know, I do love CZW, so it's not a matter of me saying that, you know, fuck you, your name, and all of that shit. Like, you know, I will continue to promote CZW as long as I do the show. So whether I like or hate some of the shit they do, I'll let it be known either way. But what they do have, they set up, what do they call it, like a tryout match or a showcase match or something like that with 1PW guys, or IPW guys, I should say. I believe it's IPW.
No, it's 1PW.
1PW, my bad. I was right the first time. Kid Fight versus Andy Wild. So that's one match. I have never seen either of these guys. They might be amazing. I don't know. I guess I'll have to see. They took the tag match that they were doing with the Briscoes and Philly's Most Wanted and split them up into singles matches. So you're going to have Mark Briscoe versus Joker and Jay Briscoe versus the Blackie Sabian. You got that. You have DJ versus Greg in an ultra-violent whatever. And you have Ty Hagen challenging Akuma for Akuma's Best of the Best spot. So in order to get into the Best of the Best, Ty Hagen's going to have to beat Akuma and take him out of Best of the Best. So I'm not really sure how that's going to go. They have a not fully booked, but they have a six-man tag lined up for the show. And it's going to be Drake Younger, Drew Gulak, and the Mystery Guy versus Danny Havoc. And now they haven't really fully announced Scotty, but all signs point to Scotty. So I would guess Danny Havoc, Scotty Vortex, and another Mystery Guy. So that's a six-man tag you got there. You have the main event, well, whether it's the main event on the card or not, you have the world title match of Devin Moore facing the new champion of Robert Egotistico Fantastico, Anthony. You know, so right now that's what's booked. That's what's coming up. Horrible name.
I wonder who the mystery tag partners are going to be. I wonder who.
Not sure. Really not sure. I just, you know, I guess we're just going to have to see. I'm not really sure. So.
Hey, did you hear about Sanjay Dutt making an announcement?
What did Sanjay Dutt announce?
He announced that they're bringing back the TPI.
You know, I somewhat heard that, but I heard it was like AIW.
It's AIW. They're bringing back TPI, but not that TPI. They're doing the Todd Pettengale Invitational in AIW.
The what?
Yeah.
Who?
AIW is doing the Todd Pettengale Invitational.
Well, that's something. I did want to, you know, speaking of the status update, fantastic. You know, during every one of their promos that are for this show, they make it just a little worse, and they use Coolio's Fantastic Voyage. Now, I mean, that's, you know, obviously a new hip ongoing song. Everybody rocks that these days, so it makes perfect sense that we use something such as CZW's status update, Fantastic. And then we play Coolio. So, while segueing off of that, and right before I get into some of the things I have to talk about on TNA, our friend Reggie, he graced us with this wonderful gem, which is Coolio's Gangsta's Paradise. And this is his response to the TNA marks. I don't know how one thing has to do with the other, but this is a fucking gem. So everybody, sit back. Don't have any drink in your mouth while this goes on, and enjoy Gangster's Paradise by Reggie.
All right, you know how it is, TNA? You want to diss me? Well, this song is for you, you TNA marks. This song is for you, TNA marks. So get ready, because we got to get some music up in here. 3, 2, 1, let's get ready to rumble, brother. And it is, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life, and I realize there's nothing left. Because I've been battling and laughing for so long that even my mama thinks that my mind has gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that I didn't deserve. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying in chalk. I really hate to trip, but I got a lot. As they croak, I see myself in a pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of G that the little homies wanna be, like on my knees in the night saying prayers in the street light. We've been spending most of our lives living in the gangster's paradise. We've been spending most of our lives living in the gangster's paradise. We've been spending most of our lives living in the gangster's paradise. We've been spending most of our lives living in the gangster's paradise. Look at the situation they got me facing. I can't live a normal life. I was raised by the streets, so I gotta be down with the hood team. Too much television watching got me chasing dreams. I'm an educated fool with money on my mind. I got tin in my hand and gleam in my eye. I'm a lockout gangster, that tripping banger, and my homies is down, so don't arouse my anger. Fool, death ain't nothing but a heartbeat away. I'm living life, do or die, what can I say? I'm 23 now, but I live to see 24. The way things are going, I don't know. Tell me, why are we so blind to see the ones we hurt are you and me? We've been spending most of our lives living in the gangster's paradise. Oh yeah, we've been spending most of our lives living in gangster's paradise. Yeah, we keep spending most of our lives living in the gangster's paradise. We keep spending most of our lives living in the gangster's paradise. Power in the money, money in the power, minute after minute, hour after hour. Everybody's running, but half of them ain't looking. It's going on in the kitchen, but I don't know what's cooking. They say I gotta learn, but nobody's here to teach me if they ain't. But they don't know what's cooking. They say I gotta learn, but nobody's here to teach me. If they can't understand how they gonna reach me, I guess they can't. I guess they won't. I guess they run. I guess they run. That's why I know my life is out of luck, fool. We've been spending most of our lives living in the gangster's paradise. We've been spending most of our lives living in the gangster's paradise. We keep spending most of our lives living in the gangster's paradise. We've been spending most of our lives living in the gangster's paradise. Tell me, why are we so blind that the ones we hurt are you and me? Why are we so blind to see that the ones we hurt are you and me? Tell me why, TNA, are you hurting me so bad? Because I don't know. I just want the wrestling business to succeed, man. This is hurting me. You hurt me. You hurt me on the 24th. That was the worst night of my life. Why do I gotta see that minute after minute, hour after hour, man? I'm done with this crap, man.
So, yeah.
that was epic.
If that isn't fucking good, I don't know what is. You know, I like to, you know, I hope Reggie's listening and stuff. You know, I know he listens to the show. You know, he's called in several times. We've had him on, everything else. I'd like to personally thank Reggie for that, And I am in the process of requesting many, many more songs. I actually did request Reggie to do that, and I couldn't believe he actually went through and did it. And I'm very, very thankful for that. It has provided me with many, many listens of unbelievable entertainment. So, yes, absolutely. So if that's what TNA does to people, I love TNA. I'll just put it out there. You know, I'll deal with any problems I have with TNA for more of that. So, speaking of TNA, last week when I was inside and the TNA was on my TV and I was looking at some CM Punk looking motherfucker. That was Gunner or Murphy. This is as far as I've gotten my investigation. There's a tag team that's Gunner and Murphy. Well, it was one of those guys. I'm thinking Gunner. But I could be misled by the name. Don't know. I think that's the guy that they booked on the sake of looking a good amount like CM Punk. But we'll see how far that goes. Stay tuned. The other thing. Listen, you know, I've said it several times tonight. 3-3-11. Oh, man. You know, I listened to the Fat Italian on Monday and his sidekick, and they went on for fucking ever whining, and I'm sure they're not the only people, whining about how could they do that to The Undertaker. How could... Well, you know, TNA is irresponsible, so we're not blaming them, but how would Sting do that to The Undertaker and make a mockery of that video? Listen, man, TNA has been a train wreck for a long time. TNA has been a company that's very hard to watch and keep up with. It's the WWE with autism is pretty much what TNA has been. You know, it's a slightly challenged WCW. It's they're trying to do that with the same people years later, and a handicap. Obviously, somebody there is not firing on all cylinders. You know, and that's their own business. That's fine. There's medications and groups for that, and I wish them well. So they're used to not making good decisions, not making any profitable good decisions. Now, in the situation where the WWE puts out a promo, now, their obvious original intent was to hype up the return of The Undertaker. Now, the fans took it upon themselves to see, I don't see any Undertaker, I see a fucking Sting. I see Sting, I see Sting, I see Sting. Well, nobody ever fucking said it was Sting. I mean, except for the fucking fans. Except for all the marks running around, it was Sting, it was Sting, it was Sting, it was Sting. The one guy that said he would never fucking work there, now he's fucking 50-something years old, and, oh, it must be Sting. Well, I think that's a bad fucking call. And I said it from the start. So now everybody was dying to see Sting. Everybody was dying to see Sting. Well, the second he doesn't show up, now he's a douchebag, and everybody hates him, and no one wants to see him. How dare he fucking do anything else? Well, he was working for TNA before. So it's not like a big fucking deal for him to still be working for TNA. That's number one. Number two, imagine one company is doing something, and they're sending out teasers on a new product, and everybody takes guesses and starts clamoring, and like, oh my god, if it's this, I'm definitely buying one, I'm definitely buying one, I'm definitely buying one. And then company B, who already has said item waiting, they're not saying nothing about it. They're sitting there going, wow, that's our product that everybody's freaking out about. So then company A puts out their product, and it's nowhere near what all the fans were hoping for. Well, is it wrong for company B to then put out that product with the same marketing? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think one of the smartest things TNA ever did was do a 3-3-11 promo that was identical to the fucking Undertaker promo, because all the fans were clamoring for a guy that they had fucking, they had in their back pocket. So now, do I think fucking Sting's gonna fucking drive ratings through the fucking roof? No, he wasn't before. But in the same token, I think it's a good attempt by TNA to do some shit to boost their ratings, because fuck, man, what were they doing before? They were booking Sting to no avail. They were booking Ric Flair. They were booking Kevin Nash. As soon as he's Diesel and shows up in the WWE, oh, everybody loves Kevin Nash. That's crazy. It's fucking crazy. All these fucking guys are washed up. And when the WWE pitches them, everybody runs to the edge of their fucking chair and starts popping popcorn and shit. But when TNA does it, all they use is old has-beens. Oh, fucking TNA, fucking garbage. You got motherfuckers singing about Gangsta's Paradise every time TNA makes a move, but WWE is a different fucking story. Yeah, I mean, that's just the way I feel about that shit. I'm not a TNA supporter either, but I also think the WWE is entertaining to me. Successful, of course. Entertaining to me, usually not. Really, usually not. And I skim through both shows every week, you know, and they're very short watches. You know, I'm like 15, 20 minutes on a fucking TiVo, and I'm back to playing video games or doing some other shit. You know, that's, I just can't put TNA over as like this crazy, deplorable company, and WWE is a high horse. When you're cheering the same person on WWE that you were shitting on weeks ago in TNA, it's the same fucking guy. So anyway, everybody tune in tonight. TNA Wrestling, I think it's on right now, but you know, I think it'll be after we go off the air when they actually play Sting's return. And big spoiler alert, he wins the title tonight. He comes out in new gear. I heard it has red sequins. I don't know where they're leaning with that, but I guess we'll see. And that's pretty much all you got. And then Monday, everybody that wants to clap for someone old on WWE, Stone Cold will be there. And so will Triple H. And maybe The Rock will call in from fucking Japan and say he's coming back to fucking, you know, where are they next week? Any guesses? I don't know.
No idea.
Yeah, well, it'll be like Kansas, and he'll be like
in Japan.
Yeah, he'll be in Japan or some shit. And you know, finally, The Rock has come back to Kansas. I know you see Japanese people all around me, but I've been here for years, and I'll kick your candy asses. Like, that's not going to work. Like, settle down. And then everybody on their Twitters and Facebooks, no, my God, I'm marking out. The Rock's on TV again. Oh, God. Like, all right, dude.
And then he gets on the air, and he says, you know, The Rock hears Yakuza Kick Radio, and he says it right now. J. Cap Morris, if you ever talk about me bad again, I will lay it the smackdown on all your candy asses.
Nah, that's not likely, because they're paying The Rock millions of dollars to talk shit about their talent, and I'm not paying nobody shit, so he ain't gonna talk shit about me. It's costing them millions of dollars in order for him to talk shit about their talent, and then eventually he'll go away. I know he told all the fans he won't, but trust me, people, he will. He already did. He came back, wasn't there the next week at all, and then I think now this was the third week since then, and he cut a fucking promo from his house. So, yeah, never leaving you again, buddy. They bought me a new camera for my house, so you'll hear from me all the time now. You know, I'll keep in touch, WWE Universe. Don't worry, buddies. It's pretty hilarious. Johnny Curtis won NXT. I don't know who the fuck that is. I don't care. Just putting it out there. another WWE-related item is they announced the Dancing with the Stars lineup, and one Chris Jericho will be on next Dancing with the Stars.
looks like we might be seeing him soon to promote that.
Oh, he'll pop up on WWE to tell you about dancing, of course. And people will mark out again, I guess. I don't know. No, I don't think he's old enough. He's still got a couple of years before people really Facebook about it.
Is Brett Favre going to be on Dancing with the Stars or no?
No, he is not.
So Brett Favre will be coming back for another season of NFL football.
He will?
Well, that's just I'm just assuming that because of the fact that he's not doing Dancing with the Stars, so he's probably coming back to football now.
I don't know. They're actually having a successful football player on there in Hines Ward.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did he even play in 2010?
Hines Ward?
Yeah, did he even play a game in 2010 or no?
I think so. I mean, he's not Fat Frank, but he did play a game. I think he's been playing for the Steelers, I think he's been playing for the Steelers. Yeah, because, I mean, I've been playing people on Madden and stuff, and I keep hearing that crazy, like, because they've never called at him in the game, but every time he catches a fucking pass on Madden, you hear, Hines, Psycho Ward, and they really don't call him that in the NFL, but I guess the creators of John Madden football thought that'd be a great idea.
I'm supposed to tell you that in this this is according to CZW Princess, that in the first or second season they had Jerry Rice on.
Yes, I'm well aware. Yeah, thanks. I know. You know, you know, Jerry Rice is the best receiver that ever played the game, so he can do whatever he wants. Thanks, though. Thanks.
I would like to see Fat Frank with Dancing with the Stars.
Another couple guys in there will be Sugar Ray Leonard.
Ooh, is he gonna box? Is he gonna do a boxing rant? Is our boy Reggie gonna do a boxing rant now about Dancing with the Stars?
I don't know. Maybe they'll have an MMA guy and Reggie will be like cheering for the MMA guy in Dancing with the Stars. That would be pretty hilarious if he put that
on hilarious if that happened
on YouTube.
You know, it'd be hilarious if that happened and the MMA guy got fucking cut the first week.
Yeah. Oh yeah. If the MMA guy couldn't outdance the boxing guy, the ratings.
Well, I
don't know.
Reggie test.
This is going a bad angle. They also have, to match the talents of Chris Jericho, they have Kirstie Alley. Yeah. Kirstie Alley. Oh, and the Kendra chick from Hef's House. Yeah.
Oh, Kendra Wilkinson or no?
Yes. She will be dancing. And who else? Shit, I knew there was a few more. Well, there's, I think, 12 altogether, and I've never watched a single episode of Dancing with the Stars, so it's hard for me to really remember the cast when I've heard it a few times. fuck.
I'll find out. Give me one second.
Yeah. I know there's several more, and it's pretty lively group. I mean, it could easily be, the next Sober House or, something like that, Celebrity Rehab. But instead, they're dancing. It's fine. Everything will be just fine. Just keep dancing.
Wait, you said like, Charlie Sheen's going to be on there too, or no?
No. There won't be any dancing outside of his lavish estate. He's got his own porn stars and, you know, he's got his own version of Kendra and, I don't think the other girl looks like Jericho, but he'll make do. Yeah. There's some, I believe, like a foreign tennis star or, I don't know, some kind of shit. But anyway. What else do I got? I know I got a few other things to talk about. Huh. Do you got that up there? No,
I can't find it. I'm looking around. I can't find it. I thought I found it, and then it was just all the winners of all the seasons.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, I found out recently that, just recently, Rob Feinstein actually ran a show. I think this was actually his second show. He ran out in Reggie Land over in Virginia somewhere.
Reggie.
And, yeah, and over 1,000 sold. It's AWE. That's Awesome Wrestling Entertainment. Another terrible name for a wrestling show. And, yeah, man, he brought over 1,000 people in the building, so it looks like Rob Feinstein's back on his feet booking wrestling shows. Yeah, good for him. I mean, you're able to book, you know, 1,000 people. From what I hear, it's a family-friendly company, like pretty much run like family entertainment shows. It's not so much like a Smart Mark wrestling company with the hard hitting and this and that. Like, they do whatever, but, you know, so... I mean, hey, man, if you could try to fuck boys, little boys and shit, and then actually get people to bring their family out to your shows years later, I guess you're back on your feet. I can definitely say that. That would be winning
in
Rob Feinstein's world.
Apparently they're where the hell is this at?
Virginia.
No, I'm trying to. Oh. Nah, I thought this is old.
Huh.
Oh yeah, May 21st, Rocky Johnson will be making his AWE debut. Rocky Johnson, the father of the Rock.
Okay, well, finally he's come back to Virginia. Yeah. Another thing I wanted to get into. Was something that, you know, we promoted last week was the Carnage Cup. Pinky Sanchez, former guest of ours, won the Carnage Cup, so congrats to Pinky. I believe this would be the first deathmatch tournament Pinky Sanchez has ever won. I think that'd be a pretty fair statement. But, so he won the tournament. But the big news coming out of that tournament was a guy took a guy named Spider Boudreaux. Let's break kayfabe a little. Allowed somebody to stab him in the arm with a box cutter. So, you know, everybody's freaking out. Wrestling's going too far. What the fuck with this shit? What's next? The gun on the pole match? No, what are they going to do? Someone's going to die. And I can't help but think to myself, what is the fucking difference between telling someone, hey, stab me right here in the arm. It's going to be a deep cut, but I think it'll pop the fans. Stab me right here in the arm, and I'll bleed a bunch. And I think I'll be over then. Now, although I don't agree with that, I think it's a dumb spot and a stupid idea. And I don't think he's going to have an enormous fan following because of it. Oh, it'll get a lot of fucking YouTube clicks once it's online. It'll, you know, maybe sell a few DVDs off of shock value. But I think most people would agree that most deathmatch wrestling is off of shock value. Like, they get their pops off of shock value for the most part. I can't believe this happened. I can't believe that happened. So what would be the difference with this guy saying, hey, stab me in the arm, would this be a deep cut? Or John Zandig and Nick Mondo coming off a 25-foot roof through a couple tables with light tube lob cabins stacked on them. I mean, which do you think is more risky? And I would have to side with the roof bump. Now, that comes off much better. It ends up coming off as a far, far more revered spot, as something that fans will remember forever. And they actually give these guys credit for doing that. Now, although I do as well, I think to put this guy in a category where, oh, fucking, he's going to he'll have someone shoot him next month. Well, no, I don't think, like, the whole line of thinking with this, yeah, it was a dumb idea. Yeah, it's not going to get over. But I really think that the majority of deathmatch wrestling surrounds the element of surprise, the well, like they say, the suspension of disbelief and the shock value, altogether shock value. I can't believe this happened. I can't believe they did that. I mean, you know, Nick Mondo punctured arteries in his fucking back when he did that shit. This guy took a deep fucking cut and a few stitches or whatever. And I'm not confirming the stitches because I don't even know that that happened, but either way, you know, he took a deep ass cut. And move on. You know, syringes, huge shock value, huge shock value. Millions times safer than a fucking thumbtack in your skull. You know, these guys are taking a wiffle ball bat full of thumbtacks, just bouncing it off their skull, or a light tube full of fucking mercury and glass that can cut you any which way, or something that they actually stab people medically with, which is safer. But of course, because the syringe hasn't been seen, hasn't really been done and done and done and done, oh my God, he's got a syringe, what kind of nut is this guy? Well, you know, as long as it works, it works. So that's just my feeling on the whole thing. Don't think it was a great idea, but I think people are going a little far on, oh my fucking God, what are people thinking and what's going to happen next? And we've honestly seen a lot worse, you know?
Right.
So that's just my feeling on the situation.
Do you think you would ever see that type of spot happen in Philly?
Well, see, and that's the other thing, too. Like, I've seen, like, one guy reviewing shit, and he kept, like, referencing CCW. And he's like, and this guy, he came running, and he was yelling at Billy Graham's face, and that wouldn't happen in Philly because of the guardrails. And then they were brawling all over the building, and that wouldn't have happened so freely in Philly because Maven would be telling people to get out of the way. Well, can you maybe fathom, can you maybe harness the intelligence for 5 fucking minutes to think that maybe the athletic commission is a little stricter in Philly than they are in Alabama? I think that's a good bet. I think that's a pretty fucking safe bet to say that the Philly wrestling scene has put a big a weight on the state athletic commission to make very strict rules. They've pushed the limits above and beyond in Philly for years and years and years, from ECW till now, with the CZW stuff, with XPW, with the Juggalos, with all sorts of people coming in and doing random Philly things, and no rope barbed wire, and 200 light tubes, and setting shit on fire, and you know, staple guns and syringes and this and this and this and this. They've topped and topped and topped and topped and topped. And that's what deathmatch wrestling is. You have to do something crazier than last time. And whether it just looks crazier or it is crazier, well, that's a fine line. And that's what these guys are going through to figure out what's going to get over. Just got to do something
right,
a little bit nuttier. I just got to get something out there that people are going to go, I've never seen some shit like that. That's what keeps me up. But that's what I think it is. You know, people are real, real fucking quick to, well, you wouldn't see that in Philly. Well, there's a reason for that, douche. Like, there's just, it's not the fucking same as Alabama. Maybe you can check also, check the attendance. Oh, well, there is about 80 people in that crowd. Oh, okay, because when they do a big show like A Cage of Death and there's, I don't know, 1,500 fucking people in the building, do you think there's a better chance of getting the cops called on you or a few complaints? Probably. So people just are dying to overreact. They watch the product, and then as soon as something doesn't work for them, they scream to the heavens that everyone's going too far. You know, every wrestler has the ability to make a decision that I'm not doing this, I'm not doing this. You might miss a payday. You might not work on a show. But nobody fucking says get out that fucking curtain and cut yourself with a sword. Eat the fucking sword or you're not leaving this building alive. None of that type of shit happens. You know, and it's whatever, man. If you're not into deathmatch wrestling, don't watch it. You know, I am, but in the same token, if I don't like the spot, I don't like the spot. Like, I wouldn't pop for the fucking guy getting stabbed with a fucking a box cutter. That shit wouldn't get over with me. That's not like, I'd rather, you know, well-worked deathmatch wrestling with moves involved. The weapons are involved, but there's also moves involved. You know, my favorite thing is a hybrid deathmatch wrestler. You know, like your lightweight guys that can do all the flying and technical stuff within the deathmatch wrestling, you know, or the guys, you know, I mean, Necro has done amazing things, you know, with combinations of wrestling and intelligence of spot, and Toby, and there's so many guys who know how to work death matches other than just hit me with this, hit me with this, hit me with this, cut me with that, hit me with this, hit me with this. There's a way to do it and there's a way not to do it. And it's more or less like whatever works for you. You know, if the Alabama crowd goes fucking ballistic for guys just getting shanked, then fuck it. Shank them all. Shank them all back on top. Think about it. You know? I don't know, man. I just find it funny when people just start freaking out when they're deathmatch wrestling fans, and they know as much as I do what I'm saying right now. So it's just crazy. What do you think, Eric? Eric. Just when I thought, no difficulties this week. Here we are. Here we are. Where is Eric? Where did he go? We've completely
lost. Are you
there? Yeah. Where did you go?
Oh, shit. I was having problems with the freaking mute button on this damn computer. Froze up there for a second.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, what do you think?
I think it's just the nature of the business, and people are complaining about this shit all the time, about crazy wrestling and all types of shit. It's professional wrestling. Come on. This is not real fight, you know, a real fight type deal. You know, this is not gang fights, you know what I mean? You're not going to see anybody get fucking killed on purpose. You know?
No.
This is professional wrestling. These people think that this is a gang fucking war. They're fucking idiots. Like, how the hell can you explain, oh, I'm going to take a light tube and I'm going to swing it over your head. I'm trying to kill you. No, you idiot, that's freaking wrestling.
Right.
Like, are you serious? Like, I hate the type of people that just swing light tubes. And that's all they do. You know,
right.
I hate that. Because that's the boringest shit that you can fucking see. Oh, swing a light tube. Oh, swing another light tube. Oh, swing another light tube.
Well, yeah, man. No, I hear what you're saying. You know, like I said, the same thing. If you're just going to cut and hit people with shit, it's probably not very entertaining to me. However, you know, you mix in some actual wrestling into that match. You put some moves in there. You make it make sense. And some guys take some severe risks and some dangerous shit. I'm a big fan of that. Big, big fan of that. And there's a lot of good shit like that going on. You know, you watch Big Japan Wrestling, and that's the way that they work their shit. They don't just have guys in there that know how to just pick things up and swing them. That's, you know, they're wrestlers that do deathmatch shit. You know, and there's a lot of guys in the States like that. And, you know, I mentioned some of those guys. There's so many more of them than what I mentioned. So I'm not going to go through some heavy list and then leave people out or anything like that. But, you know, the just hack and slash guys, you know, they're just, you know, they're space fillers, you know, and especially when you run these tournaments, you're either going to get the top guys, you know, and it's going to be hard to do, or you're going to have to use some of these space fillers that are just going to do this type of shit. So, I don't know. But, got a few more things to talk about.
By the way, this is not the Sherry Shriner show, as people in that came in the chat room. They were thinking that this is another show. I don't know why the hell they're thinking
about
that this
the
is
what?
Another, They thought this was Sherry Shriner's chat room. Somebody in the chat room came in and said, is this Sherry Shriner's chat room?
She would have said absolutely. Yeah.
No, Juan.
Yep, sure Juan is.
Oh, boy.
Sherry Shriner. Who the fuck is Sherry Shriner?
Oh, boy. It's a, oh, my God. Sherry Shriner, a New World Order, aliens abduction. Oh, Nina just sent me a link of this person that came in the chat room looking
uh-huh.
for, this is ridiculous. Wow. She tried to convert us to UFOs and trying to believe in UFOs. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, being a Stern fan, you know, I've heard a good amount of Riley Martin's rants, and, you know, I guess that's the type of shit she's on. Be like,
yeah.
The Mohammedans talk a certain language.
She can get the F out. She can get the F out.
I don't care who tried to convert me to what, man. This shit ain't going to happen. You can talk all you want. Come in the chat room, talk about whatever the fuck you want. Talk about fucking, you know, fucking all sorts of shit. The aliens built the fucking pyramids. Go. And so, like I was saying, I got some more shit to talk about. Get into some more topics. Before I do, I think, you know, a few people have liked my previous, including Juan, have liked my previous Iron Sheik songs that I've played. And, of course, I don't make these songs. I'm borrowing them from other people.
Don't lie. You sing, you know, you put these together, you know. Don't lie.
No.
You're the one who did it. Come on, you're supposed to take credit for this. It makes you look better. I'm kidding.
No, it makes me look like a thief, and that's not something I'm trying to be. I just laugh at them, and I would like to share them with the people. And so, again, I offer you another wonderful musical stylings of the Iron Sheik.
The Iron Sheik make you humble.
Yes.
Here we go.
Make him humble. You are worse than Michael Jackson. You are fag. You are punk, little gay. Make him humble. Fuck the dirty words. Fuck the dirty words. Fucking bullshit. I can fuck your sister. I can fuck your mother. Your father. Your brother. All your fucking property. With my telescope. Superflow, you are good, you are the best, but you know, shooting-wise, I beat the fuck out of you.
Fuck you, and fuck your wife!
Go fuck yourself. You are fat, you are fun, little gay. You are worse than Michael Jackson. Break his back, make him humble, and then fuck his ass. Cheap Jew Russia, son of a bitch. Fuck the Elizabeth. Jack Robbins, you're no good motherfucker. You didn't have the balls to take your fucking head ball and poke over the border. But I think it's
piece of shit, no good motherfucker. People come ask, Supreme for all ground section. He tell the people no, get the fuck out of here. And he's supposed to be very fit.
Gem from the Iron Sheik. So, you like that one, Eric?
That was freaking hilarious. Billie Jean, make you humble, make you humble, make you humble, make you humble, make you humble.
It's pretty entertaining things we find out there. One thing I wanted to put out there that's completely non-wrestling related, but I find it hilarious. And I liked, how many people we got in the chat right now?
Well, we got Juan, we got CZW Princess, and we got Nicole in the chat room, so.
Okay, okay. Well, small group, but still, I want to ask.
All right. So, Juan, before, sorry to cut you off there, but Juan is, you know, being Juan in the chat room.
What does that mean?
Well, he's, you know. He's being the stalker that he is.
Oh, Jesus. Juan, hey, man.
He's telling people that he hearts people, so.
Oh, okay.
And then I've been told by She's the Princess to, Nina, please don't sing to me. So, I can sing all day, you know, if that's what people want to hear. I think people would like to hear that.
I doubt it. So anyway, what I was going to say, and, you know, I want to put the question up to you and the rest of the chat room. I have my own personal name for it, but I'm going to tell you the story first, and then I want all of you to come up with your own name, okay? So check this out. Around my house, five, 10 miles away, right? It's like the next town over. But, like, I really don't like traffic that area that much, so I had heard about it, but I really hadn't seen it firsthand. Now, a couple years back, a church of some sorts had purchased a building, built it from scratch, big building, big, round, you know, church building, you know, awning in the front where you could drive up and walk in without getting rained on, and the whole nine, right? Well, what had happened probably 6 months ago or so, and I don't know how churches go out of business, but the church went out of business. And I don't know if they stopped believing or whatever the case was. Well, there was a liquor store across the street, and it was a buy right liquor store. So the buy right liquor store bought out the church. That's right. So, we now have what was a church is now a liquor store. And to me, it's one of the funniest things on the fucking planet. I had the opportunity to go there last week because, you know, I was in the area and I said, oh shit, there's that fucking liquor store church. I got to go there. I could use some beer, and let's fucking stop there. And fucking epic, man. I got to tell you, fuck it. Now, I'm going to keep talking, but before I do, my challenge and everything to all of you guys, because I came up with a really good one. But If you were to had to name that liquor store, what would you name it? So, like I'm saying, I walk in there. Dude, if you've ever seen cathedral ceilings in a liquor store, then let me know, because I haven't. Way up top where I guess they used to be stained glass windows, they're now clear windows with beer signs in them. There's really not a lot of things that would match this experience for me. And there were some people locally freaking out. How could they do that, this and that? Well, I mean, Jesus turned water into wine, so I don't understand why everyone's so mad. obviously, the man liked to drink. That's not real effective. So, any names?
Nina says the Lord's Liquors.
Lord's Liquors, not bad.
How about the fucked up store?
Was that yours?
Yeah, that's mine.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, not good. No, fuck that. It's gonna be called the fucked up store.
Okay, yeah. Anybody else?
No.
Really? Seriously? Okay. Well, my name was the Holy Spirits.
I like that a lot.
The Holy Spirits. And because there's a Spirits Unlimited and everything, and it was actually Byright that bought it, I'd imagine they probably couldn't do that. But I want to go there with my own homemade sign and put it over their sign and just make like 20 of them. So every time they take them down, I just fucking drive up, put another one up. That place needs to be known as the Holy Spirits. Because I don't know, man. There might be part of that that's wrong, but it's a building. You know, if you believe in God and all of that stuff, you're just going to believe in God. It really doesn't matter about a building. But obviously, you know, somebody that you know, was involved in church work and everything decided to buy a building or have a building built that was beyond their means. So things happen. I mean, there's churches knocked to the ground all the time. I mean, there was someone that handed somebody that was into God a big check, and it happened to be a liquor store. I just think the whole situation is just fucking hilarious because just because of what it is. But yeah, man. So that's that. The Holy Spirits in Weirdtown. And so yeah. Speaking of ridiculous things, Jack Sabbath is running a show on March 4th. That would be tomorrow. So pretty good card. I hope number one it happens. Number two that everyone gets paid. I mean, I know that that's a very tall order. That's something that's very, very tough for someone to actually accomplish on a Jack Sabbath show. But I figure I will surely read off the card because, yeah, he books very good cards that usually don't happen or aren't paid. So, by theory, the card goes as such. They have John Moxley versus Eddie Kingston.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm telling you, this card is something else. They have Dan Moff versus Danny D'Amato, which, if you don't know, is actually like a pretty, pretty big feud that, you know, they've had for years. When D'Amato was coming up, he got bullied quite a bit by Dan Moff. Quite a bit. And, you know, D'Amato, you know, got a few years under his belt. Moff had a few personal problems and issues in the business, and he left the business for a little while. In the meantime, D'Amato was getting a little more respect, and he wasn't just getting beat up by people. Not to say that he shouldn't have been, but he wasn't really getting beat up by people the same way he was when Moff left. So then Moff came back on some, you know, what's your big shit about, and yeah, man. So they get to, you know, get in the ring together. They did it in Jersey All-Pro a few times and, you know, some kind of like prove yourself matches and stuff like that. So they're going to do it again. So that's, you know, for that reason, it's pretty big because they had a lot of history. They have what I think is a six-man. One, two. Yeah, sure. Robbie E, or Rob Echoes, versus Quiet Storm versus Pinky Carnage Sanchez versus Bandito Jr. versus Devin Moore versus Josh Daniels in a six-way match. They also have a tag team match of, I believe it's called Heaven and Hell, something along those lines. Grim Reaper and Azrael versus the Blackout of Ruckus and Sabian. There's also a handicap match of the FBI. Lil Guido and Tony Mamaluke, or Tony Luke, as they've called him in some circles. Not the guy that makes cheesesteaks. Versus Homicide.
Wow, what a waste.
So that's that's pretty interesting. And of course, above everything else, the main event being Low-Key versus the Amazing Red.
That's pretty awesome.
What's the over-under on everybody getting paid that night?
Two people? Three people?
Yeah, more or less. should be pretty interesting. Not really sure. Yeah, man. That's, you know, should be a pretty big car. I mean, if I lived anywhere near, you know, easily traveling distance, yeah, I'd go check that shit out. I would recommend that anybody in that area go check that shit out, because it is pretty fucking fantastic. Anything you want to talk about, Eric?
I'm good. I'm all good, bro. All
right. I figure we'll start doing some plugs, see where that goes. Well, you know, for one, I'd like to plug ourselves quite a bit. And that would be, you know, check us out here every Thursday. That would also be check out our archives, because, you know, I mean, we have shows recently with no guests, nothing at all. 230, 260, that type of numbers on downloads, which amazes me. And I mean, I'm so proud of that. Then I have interviews that I did 2.5-hour interviews with a guest that I thought went down phenomenal. I just, you know, and that shit's got 40-something downloads. Just 40-something down. Like, something is not right there. Like, if I'm picking up momentum now, that's great. But I really need everybody to also go back and check out the stuff that I did before this, because some of the shit's a lot better, you know.
Hey, I'm supposed to ask you about Hardcore Pawn.
Oh, what a fucking awesome show that is. Thanks for cutting my promotion of my own show off, Nina. But, yeah, that is a fucking awesome show. That is a fucking awesome show. Anybody who hasn't seen that should check that shit the fuck out. Like, I don't have that shit on my TV. I don't have True TV or whatever, wherever it comes on. But you can go on their website. It's like TrueTV.com or some just shit like that. And then I just went on, like, the torrent sites and just started downloading the show and shit. So I got, like, a bunch of them. But that, or even just go on YouTube and just put in Hardcore Pawn. P-A-W-N. You know, I'm not Southern and watching fucking Hardcore Pawn and promoting it on my fucking radio show. So, yeah, but check that shit out, man. It's a pawn shop in fucking Detroit, like right off fucking 8 Mile, and this is some crazy funny shit, man. These people are off the fucking hook. That is funny shit. I watched the fuck out of it, man. I wish that shit was on my TV. That shit would be on my TiVo like crazy, man. But yeah, man, that is a funny ass show. Definitely check that shit out. But anyway, back to us. Yeah, check out the archives. You know, I do what I can week in and week out. I've made the decision to take a format recently where we do less guests. That doesn't mean we're not doing guests. We are going to be having guests. We will have guests. but we don't want to burn out on guests. We also don't want to make our name off of having guests, because if we don't have a guest one week and all the listeners go away, then that doesn't say much for our radio show. So what we like to do is we would like to have guests, but we're going to have them sporadically. We're going to have them here and there. We're about due, so pretty soon, look for a big interview show coming up. You can look at our archives, and you can see a lot of guests that I'm sure a lot of you guys haven't downloaded because the numbers speak for themselves. So all of you guys listening, if you do have iTunes, subscribe to our show so it just automatically updates. Go click that link that says Get All. You'll have it all just sitting on your iPod. And if you're bored, give it a listen. Who knows, man? You might like it. Yeah, like I said, check that out. Everybody join the blog talk chat and all of that. Y'all can get more interactive. You can email me. You can shoot Eric, me, questions, whatever. You know, we'll address whatever on air. Haters, people who like it, I don't care, man. You can bring that. So definitely check us out. We really appreciate it. Yeah, when I see that 200-something people downloaded a show with just me and Eric fucking talking shit for 2 hours, man, I couldn't be more proud. I don't know fucking 200 people, let alone think that 200 people would listen to me on a radio. I mean, that's crazy to me. So,
I mean, we
thank
have people
very much.
We have people in England listening. We have people in Australia listening. We have, you know, people California listening. You know, people.
Oh, absolutely, man. It's highly flattering, and you know, I can't thank you guys enough. And I'm just gonna keep doing what I do and trying to get better and better at it. And, yeah, I'm going to stay entertaining as I possibly can be. So definitely check us out. Other things to check out, other than our wonderful show, would be the Wrestling Soup runs a very good product. They run on Thursdays such as we do. They do their show at 10:15. So you should check out them on the download or after we go off air. And, you could, I think, get the links over wrestling-news.com and that type of thing. Anthony Missionary Thomas, Joey Numbers, they run a very, very entertaining show. They're funny, funny people. And they do that over there. Johnny Cashmere is a good friend of mine. He's actually the guy who turned me on to the Hardcore Pawn. And again, please recognize that the pronunciation of that, because that could be taken very, very bad. But, yeah, my friend Johnny Cashmere over there, man, check him out. He's got the Life is Callous radio show, and that's on, I think, wildtalkradio.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does that over there. Check them out.
All right, what else we have for plugs?
Not
well,
really
all I gotta
sure.
say is, all I gotta say is the match is gonna be signed soon. Toby Klein versus Juan.
Hey Juan, I know you're trained to be a wrestler, homie, but I wouldn't recommend it.
And now Juan's saying in the chat room, "I love you, Jay. Big hugs."
See, I don't know, man. I don't know about you, Juan. I really don't, man. I don't know if that Iron Sheik shit gets you all hyped up and stuff, but, man, don't take that shit seriously. Go
make
do some push-ups and shit. Yeah, go do some push-ups and shit. Do some Hindu squats. You know what I mean?
Run a couple miles. Run a couple miles, you know?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Hit the ropes. So,
take
yeah,
it
man. Yeah, I don't, you know. But, yeah, man, really don't have that much more to plug, that much more to talk about. I think we're pretty much going to have to check you guys out next week for another exciting Yakuza Kick radio show. And
same time, same place?
Yep, 9 o'clock, Thursday Eastern Time. www.blogtalkradio.com/YKR online. I remember when we first started the show, and I couldn't say that shit. Like, I don't know, Google that shit. That was my catchphrase, was just Google that shit, because I don't even know where the fuck we at. So I can ramble that shit off now. Look at me. So
yeah.
Means we've been doing it a little bit. This summer will be a year. Wow. Fucking wow. So hopefully we can move up and up the ladder, get more and more listeners. If you like us, tell your fucking friends you like us. Have them listen too. You know what I mean? Everybody sync
wow.
that shit up on.
Wow. Nina said no. She's wondering if Maniac died or something.
Ah, man. I don't know, man. Maybe we'll call all the local Florida hospitals, and we'll give a call in to every outlet we
and
have
Juan,
in Florida.
Juan's getting married in September. Juan's getting married in September.
Good, good. Maybe you should stop stalking people on chat rooms. That's good, buddy. Good go, man. Congratulations. And Nicole's getting married in, I believe, June, correct?
I have no idea.
I believe so. And congratulations to all these marrying people. You know, sounds nice. Not going to be me, but hey, have at it. Whatever makes you happy. We're going to have to check you out next week. For Eric Williams, I am J. Cat Morris. We'll check you motherfuckers out next week. Peace.